Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So glad you are choosing to spend your evening with us here tonight on Tech Vibe Radio. We've been taking the show on the road the past couple years. We love going into the neighborhoods with our Tech Vibe neighborhood tour. We call it the TNT. Dare I say it's dynamite because we get to hang out with Huntington Bank in their new Squirrel Hill branch. I saw them revamping the old Radio Shack last year. And then one day I kept seeing new stuff going up. And then I saw the green handles go up on the door. And I'm like, aha, it's a Huntington Bank. And they're doing some cool stuff there. Huntington loves coming into these neighborhoods and being part of them, integrating them. And that's why they invite us to come do a show and talk to all the companies and people that are making that neighborhood really pop on the business and tech side of things. So Huntington is just such a cool partner with us. They allow us to have these types of interactions, and we just love it. And we're glad to be back on the air once again, bringing you Tech Vibe Radio from Huntington Bank. And I have Bob Klug with me here today. Bob, thanks for hanging out with me.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
So, Bob, you work with the wealth management. You're director of wealth management?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been with Huntington Bank for?
I've been with the bank. It will be 8 years in April.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone I talk to who works here, it's like this family environment here. Just the level of positive energy running through here to me is just amazing. And that must be something that keeps you here for 8 years.
Yeah, it really is a great place to work. Not only the colleagues and the environment and the culture, but also our customers and the businesses and the communities we work with. Great culture.
Well, I tell you what, it's really cool. So I've been here hanging out for the past, you know, watching people come in and out of the bank, and we've been hosting the show here. Everyone's got this awesome smile on their face, and like the people come in, it seems like the people get happier when they walk in here because they can just sense that people are here to help you and be your friend, be your neighbor, be your partner as far as it is. And I just think the vibe here is just tremendous. So tell us a little bit more about what goes on within wealth management. I know I have so many questions I would love to be able to ask you, but I know you work with folks that got tons and tons of money, but folks don't necessarily have tons and tons of money, but you help them with retirements and making the most of their money as far as that goes.
That's exactly right. So really, in a nutshell, what we do is we help people improve their financial lives, which leads into their personal lives as well. And so when you think about wealth management, it's just really about talking to people, finding out what's important to them, and helping them achieve their goals. And unless you talk to them first and understand what makes them tick, what's important to them, you can't really put together a good financial plan. So that's really where it starts, just understanding what is on their minds, what's important to them.
Absolutely. Now, Huntington's really cool because you have the business side of things and you have the personal side of things. And a lot of folks, like especially with small businesses in Pittsburgh, we have people with small businesses making really good livings for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they're doing their business banking with you and their personal banking with you. But you're able to come in and kind of see what they're doing with everything, I would have to assume,
That's
and help
right.
them then mm-hmm. create that next channel as to how they're going to start saving for the future.
That's right. Yeah. So we work with many business owners who are at the very beginning of their financial life cycle, as well as kind of the more mature business owners in terms of the life cycle, where they've made their wealth, and now it's up to us to help them grow and preserve that wealth.
Exactly.
And really, when you think about wealth management, it's about looking at the comprehensive approach to helping a person. That might be investing their money. It might be helping them get the appropriate loan. It might be looking at their overall estate plan and really just helping them in every facet of that financial life.
You really become a true partner for these folks. I mean, almost like one of the family, like literally. I mean, you become like the fifth Beatle, the sixth Stone of many families.
Yeah, that's right. I never thought of it that way, but that's a pretty cool way to think about it. But really, that's true. Many of our advisors have relationships with people 30 plus years and really have built that relationship and, as you said, have become part of their family. And really, that's our goal, really, to be our client's trusted advisor so that when something happens in their life, we are one of those persons that
exactly.
they call.
So. And it must be really gratifying when you start working with people early on. Someone's just starting out, so you can help get them the right loans to get the
That's
business
right.
going. As they make money, so that way you're there from the very beginning to help guide them. So,
because right.
you probably get a lot of folks that kind of come in like, oh, geez, I haven't been saving enough, or something happened tragically business-wise, and I'm kind of starting over again. So you
right.
kind of have to help them over again.
Yep.
So when you can get on the front end of it and really be yep. there as someone kind of goes over, it must be a lot of gratification to know that you're helping people, you know, be the best they
yeah,
can be
that,
on the financial
exactly
side
right.
of things.
And many people on my team, that's why they are in this business, because they're very strong financially, have some strong investment background, but they also like to work with people and like to help people. And so that's
exactly.
really what it's about.
So you don't have to have millions and millions and millions of dollars to talk to Bob Clue.
No, you don't. No, you don't. So we offer our wealth management services to mm-hmm. Really anyone who... We like to think of it who has potential to have millions of dollars.
That's all good.
Yeah.
That's why we're glad that you guys are
yeah.
here to do that, because mm-hmm. it all intertwines and becomes
right.
one thing that happens. And
right.
that's what Huntington does so well as far as that goes. That's why I'm excited to have some guests roll through here today that are all part of the neighborhood. What do you think is the coolest thing about being in Squirrel here with Huntington Bank?
You know, it's just it has that, it's a lot like Huntington, the
yeah.
company itself. It has a nice family kind of small town atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that's much of the way Huntington is as well. And
yeah.
just, you know, just walking up and down the street, now it helps that it's a beautiful day outside. A lot of people out and just very friendly, very open atmosphere.
Yeah, I tell you, we couldn't pick a better day to take the show on the road.
That's right.
To come here
yeah.
and record the show. It was one of these wonderful days, or beautiful afternoon. I was like, we should do this in front of one of your ATMs outside.
Yeah, that's right. yeah.
How about
yeah.
that?
Next time we'll do that.
It'd
right?
be hard for
yeah.
people to get their money out of the ATM.
Yeah.
We'd be in their way and everything. But I'm just being funny. But we're just so glad to be here and really put a focus on what's happening here in Squirrel Hill. Like last week, we had Imodal on the show, and we had Vochi and Riza on the show, and just... We're talking about like Imodal employing 200 people right here in Squirrel
right,
Hill.
Vochi's right.
got like 100 people right
yeah.
here in Squirrel Hill. And tonight we're talking to Only Both, which is actually a spinoff, or not a spinoff, but it's a company founded by Raul Valdez Perez, who founded a company called Avisimo that was once employing a couple hundred people here
right.
in Pittsburgh before he sold that company to IBM. He's on the new things, which always gets me really, really excited, because Raul is one smart guy.
Yeah.
And when he's working on something, I pay attention as far as that goes. We have Pitts. Dr. Cohen stopping by. He's the founding dean of the School of Computing and Information. He's brand new to Pittsburgh, just been here 7 months. And so Pitt's doing some really transformative stuff when it comes to you know, all things of computer science and information technology. They're really ramping things
right.
up. So I can't wait to learn about what they're doing there. And then we also have Performance Associates International stopping by. Steve Blaney, he's kind of like a two-man, three-man shop out of Squirrel Hill here. But he helps businesses really find efficiencies and all types of ways to improve and make more money, save more money, as far as that goes. So it's a whole ecosystem of cool things
right.
happening here. And
yeah.
we're all doing it here at Huntington
yeah.
Bank in Squirrel
right.
Hill, so it just makes it so much fun.
Yeah.
And remind our listeners that Audrey will be back with us next week. She was out sick. That flu thing is going around. I was like, Audrey, please stay home. I'll take care of the show. And but it's always weird doing the show without her. I mean, we've been doing the show together for 10 years.
Wow.
So oftentimes, like, she can't be in two places at once, or if someone gets sick, I always fill right in there and move forward. But these are always more fun when Audrey's hanging out with us. But it's just going to be me and the guests hanging out. And I tell you what, Bob, thanks for telling us about what you do here.
Oh, you're more than
I think
welcome.
It's great stuff. And I really encourage people to reach out to you. They have, you know, they have money they want to, you know, start doing things with, and they need advice. They should reach out to you. Everyone here is just so friendly. They'll always talk to you and point you in the right directions.
Yeah, we love working with people and helping them in their lives. So that's really what we're about.
Very cool, man. So if you go to Huntington.com, you can learn all about Huntington Bank. They make the Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour happen. Simple as that. We couldn't do it without you guys. And we wouldn't be in your office space either. So we love it. We love it. We love it. Anyhow, we are coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kersting. I'm from the Pittsburgh Technology Council for 35 years, helping technology companies succeed. Also, check out our new media site, pghtechfuse.com. All the podcasts from Tech Vibe Radio are on there, as well as TEQ stories, Made in PA stories, all the good fun stuff. Anyhow, I'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. You are tuned into Tech Vibe Radio, and we are bringing you the show from Squirrel Hill here at Huntington Bank, their new branch. They rolled out the green carpet for us. It's like first class here when we bring the show. The same, we have a great time. We love talking to companies and people that are part of the neighborhood here. And what better person to talk to than Steve Blaney? Hanging out with us tonight, Steve, you are with the Performance Associates International.
Yes, sir.
PAI, right?
Right.
Absolutely, man. Doing some great stuff.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we were just talking before the show that you've been basically in Squirrel Hill since 1979.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, independent performance associate since 1994.
Excellent. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. So, quickly, tell us about your background real quick, and I want to jump into all the things that you're doing. You're doing some really great, fascinating work with PAI. So, who is Steve Blaney?
Well, a career started in sales, straight commission sales, and then went from there. I wanted to be a consultant. Where do you go to become a consultant? They didn't have any studies at the university on that.
Exactly.
So I wrote a one-page brief on what I wanted to do, published it with some headhunters. Two weeks later, had a call. There was an opening at Westinghouse. I became part of the information resource management team back in late 79.
Okay.
And I had a fabulous career there as a consultant and senior consultant, eventually getting to the Productivity and Quality Center. And we, you know, implemented total quality with the Ball, which became the Ball Ridge Criteria process improvement. We were on the cusp of that in probably 1987. Then around 1990, we integrated activity-based costing into the portfolio of our services with, you know, in the consulting side. So in 94, I decided I'd always wanted to hang my own shingle. So
hung the shingle?
On a credit card with a partner. We were in business 1 month, the second month, the third month.
That sounds like a country western song right there.
So it's all been, it hasn't all been a straight rocket ship, but it's been a lot of fun and it's been my passion.
And it's all become from Squirrel Hill.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So tell us about PAI. I mean, at the end of the day, this kind of wraps up all things you've been doing all these years and bringing it to businesses to really transform the way they run themselves and find efficiencies and all that type of good stuff. So tell us about that.
Well, it's as consultants, you use data analytics as part of your core.
Right.
Looking at financials, operational data, different systems. So we've always done that. The trick was then to find how quickly could we turn an opportunity into actual results for the customer. So rather than just doing an assessment, coming back, here's your report out, and then leaving, we developed a process where we actively work, roll up our sleeves with the client in their environment, and produce results as quickly as we can. So rather than selling a particular product, it's basically just some upfront consulting with some recommendations and helping obtain the results. So that's what we were doing for a long time. The customers were oftentimes interested in adjusting their compensation structures with their pay, with the performance,
Right.
And so then that kind of led into pay for performance and integrating financial data, productivity data.
Right.
And so we started doing that in 1998. We were the glue, though, that pulled all that together and produced the report. So it became a little, it was a little hard to keep engaged with the client just because of the time commitments and the inconsistencies of pulling the data.
Right.
So we continued to do, you know, different consulting work for a variety of clients. I used to work for everyone from, you know, HVAC, plumbing, distributors, Iron Mountain.
Right. But business is business is business,
business
right?
Is
At
business.
The end of the day, they all have common problems, and that's what you're there to solve.
CBS up in, you know, Manhattan for 4 years. Yes, manufacturing, you know.
That's awesome.
Facilities.
So maybe you can run us through like a scenario as to how you kind of come in and are able to work with an organization and then through your services then them see actionable results at that point. They're able to take actions on these and they see the results.
Yeah, basically, you know, you win as if you own the company. You don't quite say it that way, but you look for opportunities as if you were the CEO.
Right, absolutely.
And you you do some data analytics with it, and then you basically present those concepts with projected return on investment for the C-level executives of the organization.
Okay.
They'll pick one area. Typically, at first, usually it's where they're having problems, bleeding.
It's always an emergency that probably brings you in there. It's probably not often it's proactive that someone's doing it, but they're sensing something's wrong or they know something's wrong, so they're bringing you to sniff that out and fix it, plug it, and make it
better. So then, yeah, we basically just roll up our sleeves and help them fix it in the quickest possible way.
Okay.
and drive the results to the bottom line, make the tough recommendations to them, and and make
you. So you become a therapist then at some point. Well, you have a special couch that you go, okay, we've got some things we got to talk to you about.
Yeah,
you
might want to lay down for this. Yeah, we don't have any magic dust, but we do. But what really drives our success is just based on performance. So these breakthrough projects, once we accomplish one, implement it, they want to do more.
Well, they're seeing, obviously, if they see the results, they're like, wait, you helped me with this. Now, if we continue to go down this road and apply it to other areas, they're going to see other savings, other efficiencies that are kind of brought
into
it.
So there was a client over in Greensburg, Advanced Fire Protection, and we got started with one division, and 4 years later, we finished with our last project.
Wow. See, that's great. So you literally, I mean, something that would probably be a 3 or 4 month project, you turn it becomes a four-year engagement. What I find really interesting is the fact that you said it's for businesses of all sizes.
So correct.
It's not like you come into some massive organization, like, you know, but it could be a 3 or 4 person shop, and they know there's something going on there, and they got to figure it out.
Our sweet spot is probably anything over 12 employees.
12 employees? Okay, that's where it really starts to make sense for you guys. That makes
sense. But we've worked with Armstrong County Hospital with 1,000 employees.
Nice.
So it's isolated to a particular program or function within the business. And then it's pulling the data analytics, analyzing, and making recommendations and helping them implement.
Right.
The behavior change. Back
exactly.
to that, that's probably the most challenging part is we have to change behaviors to be successful.
Exactly.
Now, what was different was when the data analytics started to become a little easier to manage.
Absolutely. Well, that's just the progress of technology these days is allowing that to happen now. Where think about, I guess, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, compared to the tools we have now that you can now apply to these businesses, it's got to be like night and day, I would assume.
It is. So we have an automated suite of data analytics. Analytics RX is our major solution where we actually mine the data in an automated way. Pull the data, create metadata tables and structures, compilations, then they produce real-time dashboards that you can really drive performance from.
I love it. So you have a brand new website. I always want everyone to give them their website, but I really want you to give their website because you got a brand new one.
Yes.
And everyone's excited to get people to go there. So where can people go to learn more about this?
PAIUSA.com.
That's easy enough. I can remember that. PAIUSA.com. See, I didn't forget. But seriously, I encourage people to go there because if you go there, you can kind of scroll through and really, really kind of like soak in different ways you can help the company.
There's a knowledge center. There's results from a variety of programs or projects with an array of different customers and different issues and things that we've helped them solve their problems with,
Absolutely. But
also produce a strong return on investment.
I love it. We've got about a minute left. What are your thoughts on being in the East End here? Just see how Pittsburgh's been growing, but how the East End's been kind of growing, and Squirrel Hill's all part of that.
That's exciting. I mean, who would have thought?
I know.
Back in 79, we were dealing with programmable calculators.
Exactly.
That's a big thing.
Exactly.
So it's exciting. We're pleased to be part of it. And, we're really excited about our data analytics solution to go along with our consulting.
Definitely.
Because we can really drive major improvements. It's unbelievable. Organizations that should take advantage of, incorporating data analytics into their operations.
That's why they need to go to PAIUSA.com.
Yes.
See, I remembered. And it was like 2 minutes since last told me that. So that's good stuff. Thank you, Steve Blaine, for stopping by the show tonight.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate it. Great, great stuff. This is Jonathan Kirsting. We're here with Huntington Bank, bringing you Tech 5 Radio. We'll be right back after this quick break. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Welcome back. So glad that you are spending your evening with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. And we're really just always pumped to be back on the road taking the show with Huntington Bank here to Squirrel Hill, their new branch they just opened up a couple months ago, right in the heart of Squirrel Hill, where I grew up as a kid, where I continue to eat a lot of pizza and drink a lot of coffee because Squirrel Hill is a great part of town. And for us to take the show here and talk to the companies and the people that are really making the East End pop is just way too much fun as far as that goes. And one of the biggest resources here in Pittsburgh is the University of Pittsburgh. They're doing some great stuff. And we have Paul Cohen, who's the founding dean of the School of Computing and Information at Pitt, hanging out with us today. Thanks for taking the time.
Not at all. Happy to be here.
I'm really excited to learn about this because Pitt keeps stepping up its game, Carnegie Mellon keeps stepping up his game, Robert Morris, all these universities are doing such great work. And I think that's really been the secret sauce to making Pittsburgh just be the great city that it is right now, as far as attracting talent, attracting tech companies, growing tech companies, all that. It doesn't happen without some great schools. And you're now playing a really serious role in part of that. So I'm glad to have you here to talk about that tonight.
It's great to be here. I've only been here since August, so okay. I don't know much about the history,
right.
But you seem to have nailed it. It's like things are growing and growing fast.
Yeah, so you're brand new to Pittsburgh, which I think is very exciting. We are glad that you're here. So where are you from originally? Where have you been the past couple of years, and what brought you to Pittsburgh?
Well, I guess most recently I was at an organization, part of the Defense Department, called the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency,
okay.
or DARPA.
DARPA, yes.
DARPA, everyone knows who DARPA is. I did four splendid years at DARPA on loan to DARPA from the University of Arizona. So Pittsburgh weather, Tucson weather,
you know.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about
we
it.
We have more variety here.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So I was at Arizona. I'm an AI guy, so it's nice to be in Pittsburgh because it's sort of one of the two or three centers of the universe for AI.
You said it. I'm coining that right here.
Yeah, that's true.
According
that's
to true. Mr. Cohen here, that's what true. It is. Okay.
Well, I mean, it goes all the way back to 1956
it
when
does.
The field got started. Many of the people who were at the Dartmouth conference were from what I guess was Carnegie Tech.
Carnegie Tech at the day,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, yep. So there's a great history here, and I'm very happy to be at one of the original places. So,
yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Very much so. So, in Pittsburgh now, so tell us, what are you doing here in Pittsburgh now? You're spinning up this new school.
Yep.
Tell us about the school.
Well, the school was formed from, several academic
right.
units.
You're bringing things together.
Bringing things together.
Right.
I'm happy to say it's a thoroughly cooperative exercise. The degree of enthusiasm and volunteerism in the various constituent units is quite stunning. I've had a great 7 months. So
excellent.
Let me say a little bit about what we're actually trying to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us. What are you trying
to
accomplish?
I think pretty much everybody understands that computing is now an integral part of virtually every discipline.
Yeah, it's
and
ubiquitous, right? I mean, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And that's why Pitt started the school.
Mm-hmm.
So really our mission on campus is to make Pitt a 21st century, that is, information age university. The thing I hadn't really counted on was how welcoming and eager people in all of the other schools are.
Right.
I mean, last week we just spent 2 days working with pharmacy on a new academic program in pharmacoanalytics.
Wow, okay.
Right, which is,
that's what's so cool. You think about analytics and artificial intelligence, all that going into all these different schools.
It is.
Yeah.
And pretty much I think we're doing something with pretty much every school.
I would imagine so.
Designing new academic programs. The school, in 7 months, has established for itself a vision and a mission. That really has two parts. And if you give me a moment, I'll tell you what they
please.
Are.
Please, yeah, I'd like to hear about
this. So on the research side, I've been very concerned over the last few years about our inability to build good, strong, predictive, explanatory, analytical models of very complicated systems like climate and weather,
right.
and food security and energy and all that stuff. You know,
these are all the things that keep me up at night.
Things that should be keeping us up at night. Yeah. So you'd like to be able to make smart decisions about those things, and to do that, you need good models. And modeling just isn't up to the task.
Okay.
So
is that because not having the right data or enough data, or
well,
just flaws in the modeling?
That's part of it.
Okay.
Part of it is what we really want to be modeling is not individual systems, but interacting systems.
Ooh, which makes it all the more complicated.
All the more complicated, right?
Right.
And part of it, frankly, is sort of cognitive limitations. Humans find it difficult to keep track of hundreds of thousands of things moving simultaneously.
I can hardly find my shoes in the morning sometimes, okay?
So the question is, could technology help people build really complicated models of really complicated systems that would support rational decisions?
Yeah.
And at DARPA, we got the inkling that the answer to that question is yes.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
So the mission of the school is to develop the technologies that are needed to model and manage the world's complicated systems.
Wow.
Now, this is a good place to do that. I mean, there's a ton of expertise. And when I say systems, I don't just mean the macro systems, you know, transportation, energy, food.
Yeah.
I also mean microscopic systems like your gut microbiome.
Oh, wow. Okay. Literally. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Indeed. In fact, I mean, the first project we did at DARPA was looking at intracellular molecular signaling in cancer.
Whoa.
So, you know, we're talking about orders of magnitude and scale.
Exactly. Right.
But the principles of modeling, the technologies to model those systems really don't care what scale you're talking about.
It's interactions and it's, right.
We just have to be able
to. You can just apply it to whatever systems that you want to put it to.
Well, and so that's a really good point. And I think that explains why this mission and vision have sort of taken off.
Right.
At Pitt and also with colleagues at CMU. The reason is that everybody has an interest in modeling and managing systems, right? And if
it's
we could turn it into a real science,
exactly.
And if we could make Pittsburgh the sort of locus of that kind of science.
How cool that Pitt's making that happen by bringing you on to form this school. And so you've been at this for 7 months now.
Yep.
And obviously you're off to a strong start. I'm sensing some positivity from you right now. Love with you're liking Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And so how do you see things progressing like over the next year as you really begin to formalize this? And obviously this is going to gain some international recognition. You're hopefully going to be drawing more talent from around the world to make this type of stuff happen. I think you've got a great start here. So
you just said it. We are attracting talent. We're recruiting faculty. We will in May
21st and 22nd.
Thank you. We'll be holding a big conference to sort of convene the world around this idea of modeling and managing systems.
You're making us the focus for people from around the world going to come and talk about
this
stuff. Okay.
Exactly. I really want this for Pittsburgh. I really want this sort of emerging science to be, this is the place it gets done.
Exactly. You know? Oh, I love it.
This is exciting. There'll be big payoffs, right? I mean, because industry and government and the intelligence community and lots of other people will want to come to the place where we know how to do this stuff.
For sure. Just reminding our listeners, we're talking to Pitt's Paul Cohen, the founding dean of the School of Computing and Information. And this conference that's coming up on the 21st and 22nd of May, if you go to www.pitt.edu/tildesmc, you can learn more about that conference. Because these are the types of things that really puts Pittsburgh on the map, to have the best minds from around the world coming to Pittsburgh to see what Pitt's building, what Carnegie Mellon's doing, what all these schools are doing. People realize, whoa, as you said, we're one of the top centers in the universe for this type of work.
Known universe.
Yeah.
The known universe.
And we're bringing men and women like you into town to kind of do this, which I think is just fantastic. So we've got a couple of minutes left. I'm just curious if you could tell us a little bit more about some of the research that's going to be going on, the crazy complex problems that you guys are trying to solve.
Well, we have work going on, as I mentioned, with the School of Pharmacy. I'm very impressed, really knocked out by the quality and sophistication of the modeling work being done in the Graduate School of Public Health. They have this enormous simulator that they use to model the opioid epidemic.
Yeah.
You know, we have local things going on in Pittsburgh where we're interested in urban renewal that should be based on good models. Right. And and we look forward to working with people in Pittsburgh.
It's like models are the key to everything. Being able to modeling everything. It's like that's where it all begins.
Models are the key to everything, and also an educational system that teaches people that that's really the key to everything.
Exactly.
So we're stressing in our educational mission what we're calling polymathy.
Wow.
Polymaths are people who understand what fields have in common.
Huh.
right? And not, you know, we teach fields as if each of them is sort of unique to
itself. Has its own little world, right? But they all kind of connect.
They connect.
I bet you there's a model for that.
They should, they do all connect, right?
Yes.
And so we're teaching students really from day one to think about systems and how fields connect.
I love it. Such cool stuff. So happy you could stop here and tell us more about it. This is why we do the show. Put a little light on these things that you don't know are happening in Oakland and here in the East End.
Well, invite me back.
We would love to have you back. I want updates as to how you guys are progressing, because this is a really big move for Pitt and for the region. And for the world, for that part, as far as I'm concerned, because this is where problems are being solved. So glad you can make it by. Anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting with Tech Vibe Radio, and I'm so happy to be hanging out with Huntington Bank and their Squirrel Hill branch, talking to guys like Paul here. This is what's making Pittsburgh really a great town to be in. So happy to put a little spotlight on all of this action. Just remind everybody, the Pittsburgh Technology Council, around for 35 years, helping tech companies succeed. We love it. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and go to huntington.com to learn about all the great services and banking with Huntington Bank. I'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jonathan Kirsting with Tech Vibe Radio, and Audrey's not with us tonight. She is out sick, so I am manning the controls, and so we hope she gets better soon, and she'll be back on air with us shortly, that is for sure. We are continuing here at Huntington Bank. We've been having just way too much fun taking the show to Huntington Bank here in Squirrel Hill, my old neighborhood that I grew up in as a kid, and still hang out a lot as an adult. I live in the East End, and I pass through Squirrel Hill all the time. It's one of Pittsburgh's coolest neighborhoods. That's what I like about Pittsburgh. It is a city of neighborhoods. Every neighborhood's very unique. And for the past couple years, we've been taking the show to all the different neighborhoods, and we've been doing that a lot with Huntington Bank. We were just at East Liberty hanging out with them. We have been, you name it, we've been in the Strip District. We have been, I'm trying to think where else we've been. Northside, we've been actually up in the North Hills, Southside. Every part of town, we're telling great tech stories. And tonight's tech story, our final one for our series here, we're talking to Raul Valdez Perez, is someone who I've known for a very long time. He's built some crazy companies, done some great work here in the Pittsburgh area, and I'm so excited to have him here tonight to tell us about his latest venture that he's been spinning up for the past couple years called Only Both. So Raul, thank you for stopping by and hanging out with us here at Huntington Bank.
Glad to be here, yeah. Especially in a 75 degree day.
it's been crazy weather this year, and I just like being in their offices here. It's great to see what was once the old Radio Shack is now a really fresh, new, modern bank right in the middle of Squirrel Hill. It's green, exactly. And Squirrel Hill is where you grew your first company, Vivissimo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right around the corner from here.
So all the founders lived here.
Exactly. And it's great because all the companies we've been talking to, they all have these kind of personal ties to Squirrel Hill, and that's why they've kind of kept their companies in Squirrel Hill. Like, we had M-Modal on the show, and 200 people. You know, in Squirrel Hill, just like in Vivissimo's old days, almost in that same building there, you know, taking up that same building you guys were in, you know, same thing. They got a couple hundred people working out of Squirrel Hill, just like in Vivissimo's old days. So we're glad to have you here. So quickly, tell our listeners about your background real fast. Who is Raul Valdez Perez? I know it all started at Carnegie Mellon University for you and weaved its way into that Vivissimo company that we all know so well, and now your new thing. So tell us about yourself.
Tell about myself.
Yeah.
Well, first thing, I have this funny name because I was actually not born in the U.S. I was born in Cuba.
That. Yes, that's
crazy.
That's
why I have a funny name. And I went to Chicago at the age of four.
Four.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was born in Cuba.
Right.
Grew up in Chicago.
Okay.
And then left a long time ago, actually. I studied bachelor's and master's, and I wanted adventure, so I got on a plane and I went to live in Brazil and worked there for 2 years.
So you were in Brazil for 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got on a plane, went there, and said, here I am. Hire me.
I'm going to Brazil.
And it worked. I convinced somebody.
Wow. And you were there for a couple of years. A
couple of years. I also lived in Spain for a year. Wow. And I taught in China for a bit. But
These are things I did not know about you, and I've known you for a while.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't know if you remember this, but remember, we met at Kiva Hahn in Oakland.
I remember very well.
But just as you were founding Vivissimo back in 2000
Craig
on Craig Street.
I remember very well.
You kind of describing the company, and I was kind of like, whoa, this guy is on to something. And man, were you on to something with Vivissimo.
Well, I came here in 86.
Okay.
And then for the PhD in computer science.
Right.
Finished in 91 and stayed as a research faculty member doing research on automated reasoning. AI
right.
applied to tasks of reasoning. How do you automate them?
Right.
And then we came up with something something that we thought was worthwhile.
Okay.
And to make a real impact, sometimes you got to leave the university.
Right.
So we started a company, VVCM 1000, and grew it. We were around for 12 years. IBM acquired us in 2012.
I know. And that's crazy. That was 2012. That seems like that was maybe a year ago, but no.
5 years.
That was five, six years ago. It's like, oh my goodness.
It's going to be in June. It's going to be, oh my gosh, 6 years.
Yes.
That's a long time.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember when you had your old building on Beachwood, a little tiny place. It was like right next to Frick Park. And I remember visiting you the first time. All of your workers were all kind of crammed on top of each other. And then you took on that new space right there on the corner of Forbes and Murray, almost. And I remember you put the Visimo name on the side of the building. And I was so proud for you guys to see your name on that building from that little tiny place over in Beachwood
before
to that.
The tiny place, we worked from home for a year.
Yeah, I believe it, right?
Like everybody does.
You were at Kiva Hon working. Back when there was still a Kiva Hon coffee, which I don't think Kiva Hon exists anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they've changed or something. Location's still there, but I think it's a different name. I haven't been around there in a while, but I digress. But yeah, I just love talking about that because it reminds me of some good old times when you were building that company up, which I think really put Pittsburgh on the map in many ways when you built that company and sold it to IBM.
Yeah, there have been a number of really impactful companies. Four Systems, which was hugely impactful. Yeah. That was before
Definitely.
Us. CMUS, there's so many PhD-level people in computer science. They really should crank out companies.
Exactly.
And they're doing it now. In those days, they weren't.
Exactly.
Now,
you're one of those that did crank them out. And so you crank that one out, and now you're on to your new venture, Only Both.
That's right.
So tell us about this Only Both thing. What is Only Both?
Only Both exists
because
we've taken a task of reasoning that's carried out a lot in business.
Okay.
And we've rethought it or rethunk it using our training in AI and have taken it to a completely new level. The task is called benchmarking.
Benchmarking, all right.
So I did a Google search on benchmarking before coming here, and there were about 8.5 million hits on the word benchmarking.
Huh.
For comparison purposes, I did a search on forecasting.
Right.
So the number of hits on benchmarking is about almost half of the number of hits on forecasting. It's really carried out a lot in business and government. It's comparing an organization to a lot of other organizations to understand how the target one is doing, where it could improve, where it's falling short, that kind of thing. That's what benchmarking is.
Okay.
It's been done the same way for decades. No advances. There have been a lot of advances in data preparation, collection, in different industries.
Okay.
But in terms of extracting insight from benchmarking, really no advance. We have the advance, and that's why we exist as a company.
Exactly. So what was your inspiration to start this? I mean, you sold the Visimo, and you're not one to sit around and say, I'm going to retire now. You've got lots of things that you want to do. What was it that you said, I'm going to form a company around this? I'm going to make this forward, and I'm starting over again.
Well, actually, when we started VVCMO, in typical academic style, I had a few different research projects going on.
Okay. So this is part of some earlier
one
research.
One of them I put on a shelf when we started VVCMO, where it lay for 13 years.
13 years on 13 the shelf. So you kind of like dusted it off.
So after IBM acquired us and I moved on with IBM's permission, I took it off the shelf, tried to understand what we did, and said, gee, how can we commercialize this idea?
Right.
So I had to start programming again, which I hadn't done for 13 years.
Oh, so you're actually like, you're back to basics, right?
Oh, I love programming.
That's so cool, man.
I love AI programming.
Yeah.
And then we finally decided what this technology best is suited for is carrying out automated benchmarking, comparative analysis in business and government.
Right.
And that's why we exist as a company. We've been an Inc., a corporation now for about a little bit over 2 years.
Okay.
Before that, we were doing technology development, thinking through what's the best application for this, and so on.
And how many folks are at the company now?
We're really small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You run it lean,
we're three
right?
people.
Three people.
Three people.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But we've done something that 1,000 people can't do. I'm sorry to brag.
No, I believe it, man. Believe me. You're not one to brag because when you say something, you mean it and you can back it. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, that is for sure. So tell us about where you're taking some of this benchmarking to, like around nursing homes and healthcare, and how is that working right now?
So we have an engine. We have software that rethinks benchmarking. It automates it. It considers types of insight that people sometimes make, but there's no systematic way to consider these types of insights. And benchmarking has been done the same way for a long time.
Okay.
And benchmarking typically doesn't consider these types of insights. I could give you a complicated example from, let's say, healthcare, or I could give you an everyday humorous example.
Humorous examples. Come on. I like them that way.
Okay. Suppose I told you, don't take this personally, Jonathan.
Don't worry.
Suppose I told you that, you know, you have the ugliest haircut of everybody in Pittsburgh who is as good looking as you.
Ooh, I might take that as a compliment.
it's ambivalent. It's a compliment, it's a motivator for action.
Right.
You have the ugliest haircut of anybody in Pittsburgh who is as good looking as you.
Right. So does that mean I have an average haircut?
No, you have the worst haircut, ugliest of everybody as good looking as you. Now consider that sentence. Okay,
right.
you can give a healthcare example.
Right.
I'm not going to give you a complicated healthcare example. Let's stick to that one.
Okay.
Notice the logic of that sentence. It creates a peer group of everybody as handsome as you,
right,
and limits it to people in Pittsburgh also, and says, you have the ugliest haircut.
But if I were the most handsome dude in Pittsburgh, if I'm the most handsome guy in Pittsburgh, then
that insight would be ranked very low, because the peer group within which you are the worst is very small.
Peer group, right.
Yeah, so the idea is to generate many, many insights and then rank them according to noteworthiness. But my point is, that kind of insight is never considered when people do benchmarking.
Exactly.
Never.
Right.
And there are other examples I could throw at you. Everybody considers the same type, which is, for example, if you're in healthcare, and let's say that you are a hospital,
right,
it'll consider your mortality rate against the average of everybody in Pennsylvania and everybody nationally. Done.
That quick.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It won't say, for example, you have the highest mortality rate of any hospital as prestigious as yours is, which is an analog to...
Right, to my haircut. Yes.
Right? Those are not considered. So here's why we exist. We have the benchmarking.
Okay.
And what we're going to do in 2018 is take advantage of rich data sets that have been created by the statutory and regulatory powers of government. These are very rich data sets on six different healthcare sectors: nursing homes, hospitals, dialysis centers, home health, and hospice.
Gotcha.
And we're going to take the benchmarking engine and apply it to that. And this is all public data. And our goal is to bring unprecedented transparency to all of these healthcare sectors by launching these websites. We just launched one. Days ago,
yeah.
Nursing homes. And you can go to benchmine.com and click through to it, and it'll be paid, but it's very modest, and you can get also free insights.
Very cool.
That's what we're going to do this year. Benchmine.com is the front door.
Benchmine.com, front door. Raul Valdez Perez.
Benchmine, like gold mine.
Exactly.
Mine,
yeah. Benchmine. No, I love it. No, I just love catching up with you, Raul, and I hate running out of time because you have so much cool stuff you're working on. You're one of my favorite people here in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Always an honor to talk with you, and I'm really excited about how you grow Only Both. You're going to be doing some great stuff, without a doubt. Anyhow, we are wrapping up Tech Vibe Radio, another one under our belt. So happy to be hanging out with Huntington Bank. They rolled out the green carpet for us here, really give us the royal treatment. We love doing the show here, putting a focus on Squirrel Hill and East End companies, and Raul's got another one there. He's got another winner cooking right now. That's all I can say. He knows what's going on with that. Hey, learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. We've been helping tech companies succeed for 35 years now. It's what we do. It's our passion. Simple as that. Hey, everyone. This is Jonathan Kirsting. Have yourself an awesome weekend. And also visit Huntington.com to learn more about Huntington Bank, our partner here for the Pittsburgh Technology Neighborhood Tour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.